Good morning, everyone. We are so excited to see you here today. Let me draw your attention to our announcements.
Ladies, join us on Saturday, September the 7th from 10 to 12 o'clock for brunch. You can bring a lunch or a breakfast item to share with everyone. Drinks will be provided. Invite your friends and come and get to know other ladies right here at RLCC.
This is to let you know that our annual congregational meeting and election of officers will be conducted in the Fellowship Hall at 9:45 a.m. on Sunday, September 8th. There will be no adult Sunday school classes that day. However, all nursery and children's activities will be conducted as usual. Adult and teen worship services will be conducted at their usual times. Coffee and snacks will be provided for all participants. Absentee ballots and copies of the 2025 budget will be available beginning August 25th. If you have any questions, please direct them to me, Dennis Young.
It's our turn again to be a blessing to the students of Emory's Bread Ministry. Please bake 3 dozen cookies and drop them off in the church office.
Hey everyone, it's time for another worship night. On September 13th at 7 p.m., we get to do things a little different. Come join us for a night full of worship and praise here in the sanctuary. Invite your friends and family as we all get to make a joyful noise.
We would love for you to be a part of our first art show on September 29th. Our theme for this real-life Christian art show is love. The pieces will be on display for 1 week only, and submissions are due the 18th. Talk to Kenny for more details and submission requirements.
1, 2, intro, 2, 3, 4.
Power of our God, you shine in the shadow, you battle. Nothing can stand.
Bridge. Drums in.
See everybody. If you will, please bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear God, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for all these wonderful people that they could come in here and lift your name in worship. Please watch over all of us just as we are here for you. And as so long ago your son taught us to pray, we pray to you today. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Drums in. Verse.
Pre-chorus.
build. One, two, three, four. Intro. Instrumental. Bridge.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon
Labor Day. It's a time to honor all the hardworking people of America who tirelessly work to keep our country going. We gather around this table weekly, and today I ask all of us to reflect on the words of Jesus and the teaching of Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. For I received from the Lord what I pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is the time we come to the foot of the cross to remember the sacrifice Jesus had made for us all, so that through him and only him we may have eternal life. Let us pray. Dear Father, we come to you in this moment and with praise and gratitude. We are so undeserving of such love and grace. We thank you for Jesus and to give us the way back to you. Please bless this loaf. As we enter into this time of worship through our offering, I ask each and every one of us to reflect on the blessings that God has provided for us. With thanksgiving in our hearts, I ask a question. Are we returning a portion of these blessings sacrificially? If it's time, how much time do you give the Lord? If it's your talents, how much of your talents go towards glorifying God? If it's financially, do we give freely and do we give humbly? Let us pray. Dear Father God, we are so abundantly blessed. You put us in this nation. You put us in this country. You put us in this state and you brought us to this church. It is because of you that we have all things. I pray that you bless the gift and the giver, and that it is all pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Ooh, coming in hot. Yeah. I should have just screamed real loud to see if you all are real awake. So we're coming here to the last week in this series. And this series Collide, where our faith collides with the world. How many of you have collided with the world over the last 4 weeks with your faith? Has it challenged you when you've come to face with the things of the world? And so far, through this series, we laid a foundation of standing firm in our faith when we come in contact with that different value system. Because the world's values and our values are different. And next, we talked about the importance of allowing God to transform our minds. And from there, he transforms our minds, and then our lives are transformed and are much different. And then last week, we spoke about receiving the truth of God's word while both holding on to the truth of God's word, yet also giving it away. Well, today, as we close out this series, I believe standing firm in our faith has to include a four-letter word. And that four-letter word is love. Not the four-letter words that first come into your mind when I say that, but love. We have to love what matters most. When Leslie and I first went in the ministry, I was 33 years old, and we went to a church that had 23 senior citizens in it. That's who hired me the first time. And all I wanted was to see that church grow. That's all that was on my mind. I was focused. I wanted to see it grow. I wanted to see it thrive, and it did. But through all of that, I put a lot of pressure on myself and my family. And our relationships together suffered. And it suffered even to the point to where the effects of that still fall into our lives today. I didn't put what mattered most first. It was almost like I was married to the church and not to Leslie anymore. So therefore, there was suffering in that. And as they suffered, we had to make some changes. And I had to start putting my family first. You know, and to this day, I know that my daughter, Jacob wasn't alive at that point, but I know that Cherish, she still struggles with church because of that. So there's suffering that comes when you don't put the right things first. And similar to that story, the Bible talks seriously about the importance of choosing to spend time with God in order to grow in our love for him. And by me spending all my time focused on the church, I wasn't spending time loving my family as I should. Not that I didn't love them. It just couldn't grow and flourish like it should. And the same thing's true in our relationship with God. Because as we spend time with God, as we draw closer to him than the things of this world, you have a Bible with you. I want you to turn with me to John, 1 John chapter 2. And if you want to just read on screen, you can do that too. But most of you have an app. John said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away as also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." Now, John's passage here, he is talking about cravings. Cravings. Any of y'all have any of those? How many of you are already craving what you're going to have for lunch? You've already got the restaurant picked out, know what you're going to order when you get there. Matter of fact, you could call them ahead of time and have it sitting there when you get there because you're craving it. Right? Well, John says that we are tempted to crave the things of the world. We are tempted to crave those things of the world. And I believe that the first step to loving what matters is correcting the crave. You have to crave the correct things. We've already highlighted some different worldly desires in this series, but John names cravings for us that have to do with our flesh. For example, he says things like physical pleasure. Maybe you can relate to this one immediately, and I think we all can. You know, you're tempted to keep going back to the same website because it fulfills you temporarily for 5 minutes. Or you are tempted to respond to a lustful feeling that comes to your thoughts every time you start scrolling through your Facebook or Instagram or your social media. Some lustful thought comes into your mind because of somebody that's in there. It's normal, but not good. You see, we desire physical intimacy. As human beings, we desire the physical connection that comes through it. And they're not wrong desires. God gave you that desire to be handled in a godly way. But John says that we're often tempted to fulfill these desires in the wrong places. Because we want it now. We want it our way. I mean, that's a slogan. I use Burger King all the time. Have it your way, you know. Usually not like you really ordered it. But you see, he lists out a craving for everything we see around us. Another way to say would be the lust of our eyes. That doesn't all have to be sexual, does it? Do you ever see things and lust after them? Just say yes. I mean, a lot of times it's food or material things, a certain set of golf clubs or a new boat. You can lust after those things. You know, and they can consume your thoughts and your minds. To the point that you lust after them. And a lot of the things of this world, it looks glamorous, doesn't it? We like the glamorous look of the world in the first place. So, you know, how many have ever desired to be famous? In the society we live in, everybody's looking to be the next influencer. And they want to be famous and have the most followers and the most likes. And they think that makes them famous. When I was growing up, we had TBS when we finally got cable. We watched the Braves every time they were on. I wanted to be Dale Murphy. I wanted to play center field in the big league somewhere other than the Braves because they stunk at the time. They didn't win a game, but I wanted to be Dale Murphy, just play somewhere else. And I wanted to be that. But as I grew older, I became to realize that fame only looks as glamorous to you before you have it. And it would be my guess that it's not so glamorous once you've got it. I mean, let's think Tom Cruise, for instance. He can't step foot outside of his home that there's not photographers taking pictures, people following them around. I was in New York City in Manhattan, and I was sitting in a Starbucks, and we were up there working in a soup kitchen, so I got up really early. It's like 5 a.m., and Starbucks had just opened, and I'm getting a cup of coffee. And some lady, that shows you how much I pay attention. I don't know who she was. But the 40 or so people that were chasing her around did, taking pictures of her, following her. And I'm thinking, this poor girl, all she wants to do is go for a run at 5 a.m. and everybody leave her alone. It didn't look like fun to me. There's a price to be paid for fame. And we could go for that. This kind of lifestyle is not what it seems from our point of view, is it? You see, God knows once we get things like fame and status, and they're not going to satisfy or fulfill us. That's the reason people never get enough likes. They never get enough views. Never. It's never enough. You're searching out for more because you'll never be satisfied with the world. But the good news is they were never made to do that. The things of this world were never made to satisfy you. There was only one thing made to satisfy that craving for a deep, abiding intimacy and connection, and that is the love of God. That is the only thing that is created for you to be satisfied. I think God wants to correct your crave. He wants you to hunger after something more than this world can give you. He wants you to crave Him. He wants you to crave His love. And the way in which we find God's love is first by finding God. All you have to do is find God. And ultimately, we're looking to find God's favor. Elsewhere in 1 John, the Bible tells us that God is love. And we love that verse, don't we? God is love. Matter of fact, if that was all we read, it'd be awesome, wouldn't it? God is love. And when we find God, we find true love. What it means to be truly loved. In the verse we read a few minutes ago, we have to pay attention to how John ends this section. He says, the things of the world, even the world itself, will pass away. They won't be here anymore. Do you get that? This stuff that we worry about here is one day all going to be gone. Completely gone. And to close it out, John says, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. We've got to find God's favor. We want to please God. I want to let those words sink in for a minute. Finding and pleasing God, and you will live forever. That sounds nice, doesn't it? That sounds really nice. Everything in this world will one day pass away. You know, one day all the money in the world will no longer be here. All the fame, it won't matter at all. Any power that you might get is going to be gone. Sex, drugs, addictions, it'll all be gone. It'll be gone. And the way we find God's love is when we put His word over top of all of that. More important than anything else, God's word needs to be important. You know, Luke 21:33 says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God's word, those promises He gives you will never go away. His love for you will not pass away. Jesus says that one day heaven and earth will be gone, but God's word, it'll still be there. All throughout the Bible, God shows us how to live as He desires us to live. You're aware of that, aren't you? That this book tells you how to please God. It tells you how to have favor with God. It tells you how to live in a way that pleases Him. The things we're supposed to say, the way we're supposed to act, it all comes down to the love that we are shown those around us. It all comes down to the way we behave. Don't you love that? I sound like a parent, don't I? How many of you have told your parents to behave? Well, I've spent 20 plus years in the ministry saying, behave. But you know what? The world's love is what I call conditional, isn't it? It's conditional. It's conditional love basically means that you're only showing love to those that you believe deserve it. And let's just face it, everybody in here has done something where we deserve not to be loved. And some of you are counting the ways right now. Well, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, and I don't love you because of this and this and this. And we have no problem remembering those things. But the reality is, God's love is unconditional. Unconditional. The world's love is deeply conditional. Especially in the world and the society we live in today. If you don't believe like I believe, I can't love you. I have to hate you. You know, we live in this society that says we should love everybody, but you don't believe like I do, so I hate you. You don't vote like I do, I hate you. That's not the way it should be, should it? But it is. That's the way we're living in our world, and that's the reason we should be different. Maybe you've got family members that agree with you on certain topics, and those you would consider to be friends of yours, and then others that don't agree with you on certain topics, so therefore you don't ever talk to them. As soon as somebody wrongs you or says something rude to you, because that's never going to happen, is it? Nobody's ever going to say anything rude to you or causes you pain in some way. They're no longer worthy of your love, at least according to the world's love. And God wants to rewrite that narrative of love. His love is unconditional. Here's how I know it's unconditional. None of us here deserve to be loved by God, because we all know this verse that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. And even with this being true, even though God knows that we all fall short, God decided to show us love, grace, and mercy anyway. Why? Because we are His children. God is much better at being merciful than we are as parents. God has already made the decision to love you and me. He loves you and me. The only question left is, will we make a decision to love Him back? That's where the rubber meets the road. He already loves you, but will you love Him back? I mean, it's very simple, isn't it? He says, I love you. Do you say, I love you too? Do you say, I love you through the way that you live your life? And here's the thing about loving God that way, and even loving each other that way. It's a daily decision. Many people invite Jesus to be king of their heart and the king of their life, and they think they're good to go. Many people, I'm not going to get into this theological debate on the plan of salvation, because that's another sermon for another day, and I could go on for hours. But I am going to tell you that there is much more to being a Christian than making a decision one time. It's a daily decision. And it's a decision to follow Christ with our lives has to be made every single day. And lots of times, many times throughout that day, you have to decide. Because every day you're going to be confronted with innumerable worldly temptations to give our lives to something else. Every day you're going to come up with an opportunity to do something that doesn't line up with God. And sometimes it's going to come up a lot. And Jesus Himself knew we'd be confronted with these. But He gave us His Word to be His guide. He gave us this to give us strength when those things come your way. Now here's the question we have to ask ourselves each day. Do the decisions that I make align with the Word of God? Do they line up with what He says? And do my actions reflect that I'm a disciple of Christ? Does the way I live and the decisions I make say I'm a Christian? Does it? When you get up in the morning and you start your day, and if you're like me, you start every day that I'm going to do better than I did the day before, and then I get my cup of coffee and I blow it. You ever do that? Every day. And I have to back up and say, Lord, forgive me and help me get started again. Help me get started again. And the great thing is, God says, okay, start again. Start again. You know, God sent his one and only Son into the world to redeem the world. And you could say that Jesus was sent on a collision course with this world. And his desire, as we see in 2 Peter 3:9, is this, that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And it's a good thing he was patient with me. You know, I often think, and I think it often, I mean, it's a lot. I'm so glad that God is more patient with me than my mother was. My mother had about that much patience. She loved me. There's no doubt about it. She loved me, and she loved all her kids and her grandkids, and there was nobody I could ever say that had more love than her for the kids in the family. But she had zero tolerance when it came to patience and misbehavior. And we all felt it daily. And that, you know, but God's not that way. God is slow to react. And gives us opportunity to repent. Because if he wasn't, he would have squashed me like a grape a long time ago. But as we so easily go astray, don't we? And we get distracted. We get distracted into our own little worlds, and we don't pay attention to what God has in plan for us for the day. And we go our own way. And the negative and the lifeless messaging of the world is constant, pervasive, and enticing. You know, we went to streaming, and I thought, you know what? Went to streaming, the temptation will be less. Every commercial now is the same liquor commercial. Over and over and over again. It's just less variety. And just scrolling through, trying to figure out what you're going to watch, the titles that come your way. So, you know, the world's not going to give up. Satan's not going to stop. He wants to distract you from making that daily decision to please the Lord. He wants to pull your attention away. You know, but we got to make a conscious decision each day to say no to the things of the world and say yes to the love of God and the things of God, and we'll be able to live the fruitful and abundant life that Jesus promises us. You know, that life to the fullest, that abundant life that he promises, doesn't have anything to do with being rich. Have you ever had that victory where you had that, I'm going to say no to Satan out loud, and you chose to do what is right, and you walked away feeling good. And you feel good about it. That is living life to the fullest. But when you fail, and you realize you failed, and after you've come up on the other side, and you've experienced what the world had for you, and you thought it was good for a few minutes, and you come up on the other side, and then you realize just what you've done. Doesn't feel too full, does it? It feels empty and broken. Jesus says, live life to the fullest. And that means following his way, not your own. You know, if we will invest in the Word, the fellowship, and Christ-centered teaching and in prayer, then we can renew our minds, as Romans 12:2 says. The things of the kingdom of God will renew our minds and help us to have that full life. And when you find the world's values collide with the kingdom values in your life, you'll make the decision to choose the path of Christ. You have to look and see that the things of the world are colliding with your faith, and when they collide, you have to decide right then. Don't think about it. Don't overthink it, because we are good at that. What we do when we overthink, we justify. We make excuses. But if we just do what is right, and you know what is right, then that collision will just push you closer and closer to being on the right path, not distract you off the path. You see, what are some minor adjustments you can make in your life right now that will have major consequences is 1, 2, 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road? Maybe it's more time in God's Word. Maybe it's joining a small group. Maybe it's just volunteering at church. There's never an abundance of volunteers. Maybe it's spending time with a mentor, somebody you know that will help increase your accountability in your life. Maybe it's cutting off destructive habits or tendencies and letting them go. The list should go on and on and on, couldn't it? Of things that you can change. My point is that even though we live in this world called busy, that's what we should call our world, busy. We're always too busy to spend time in God's Word. We're always too busy to volunteer at church. We're always too busy to go to small group. Yet we're never too busy to binge watch 25 episodes of whatever it is we're watching. We're never too busy to do the things that we want to do. The great thing about it is that there is space for you in the kingdom of God, no matter how crowded you think your life is. But the real question is, will you make space for the kingdom in your life? Will you make space for God in your life now? That's where we need to realign our life. Where we're making time and space for the Word of God to work in our life and make us better. Do you ever get tired of the mundane, mediocre life that we all live? The everyday, facing the same battles over and over and over. Getting out of bed just wondering if this day is worth it or not. We all do that. I can't clock in another day. I can't eat the same bologna sandwich today. I can't, whatever it is that is in your life that is keeping you from having that full, joyful life and celebrating the joy of the Lord that's there for you. You have to make space in your heart for Jesus. And if you haven't done that, this is your opportunity to come forward, confess Him as Lord, be baptized into Christ, and receive the Holy Spirit. Listen, the space will open up the minute you make the decision. And then we have to continue it on a daily choice. From the moment we make the first one, to follow Jesus every day. Will you follow Him? If you've walked on that path for a long time and you found that path seems to get narrower and narrower and narrower because you're not spending the time with Him that you once did, it's time to reevaluate your space. Some of us need a remodel. And if that's you, today's the day to start that. The truth is we all need to remodel our lives and make a little more room for God to work in it. Will you do that? So we've all got a decision to make right here, right now. Will I choose Jesus? Either for the first time or the 100th time, it doesn't matter. But I'm going to choose Him today, and I'm giving Him the space of my heart. And as I worship, as I sing this song to Him,
I'm inviting him in to change me and make me better. Because it all starts with a decision. A decision to follow him. Let's do that as we stand and sing.
One, two, three, four. Chorus.
I love you for coming out and worshiping with us. Listen, don't forget, next week we have the congregational meeting downstairs. If you want to see the budget and the proposed ballots that are out there. If you can't be here next week, go ahead and get one, fill it out, and sign it, because the only ones you have to sign are the ones that are absentee. And also, we're getting ready to make more T-shirts. So if you have some design ideas, we want you to see Leslie. I can't promise you that that design will be the one we use, but we're looking for ideas. And she's going to do that, and she's going to get some more hats and things of that nature, because you know what? I am proud of our church, and we should wear those things out and show everybody else we are too. Right? All right. So I don't have any other announcements. Yeah, no softball this week. I have to heal. I actually played the last game, and I took quite the tumble. You know, I'm going to say I meant to slide into first, even though I was 20 feet past the bag. Don't laugh at me, Laurel.
I got front row seat of it.
Well, Leslie got it on video. You're not allowed to watch it, but she's charging $10 a view if you want to see it. And the thing is, she was yelling at John to score, and she didn't realize I'd fail till the dust cloud started to settle. Yeah, make that on a T-shirt? Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jacob. You made me feel better. But, hey, you know what? We do have a good time. We had a good crowd last time, too. It was a lot of fun. Our next game is the next Monday, the 9th at 6:30. So you can come out then and I won't fall. Okay. Hopefully not. So, all right. With that, you know what? Let's go be the church. There is no reason for us to just come in here and sing all these songs and listen to me ramble on if we don't take it and make a difference out there. That's where it matters. What we do from here for the rest of the week matters. It's as easy place to come in and sing songs and talk about Jesus. It's when we leave here that makes the difference. Because that's the reason we're a real life Christian church. Because we're real people living out a real faith together. And that means we go out into the real world and share it. All right. Yeah, the ladies are having brunch Saturday downstairs. If you want to go, get you something to eat and talk. No gossip, just talking. I don't have any other announcements than that. And Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads. Dear God, we love you so much, and we know that you love us just as much and more. As we go out this week, just be with us as we spread that love and your word, as we be the church to the community, and just watch over us as people are still traveling. And we have so much coming up, so just watch over all of that too. In your name, amen.